Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We had been talking about Bible doctrines for the last, five and a half years or something. And I was working on my message for Bible doctrines tonight and wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit, but just earlier on today, God just changed the direction of that, so I want to preach something completely different. We will get back to the Bible doctrines a little bit later, but I just want to touch on something completely different tonight, and I want to talk about our place in Christ. So if you look with me here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, first in verse 14. It said, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." I think the NIV says, "Thanks be unto God, which always gives us the victory in Christ." Always gives us the victory, or always causes us to triumph in Christ. Do you know what that means? It means that there's a place in Christ where we can always triumph, or we can always walk in victory. And that is the will of God for each and every one of us. Now let me just stop you right there. You know, I wonder how many times do we read verses like this and we just gloss over them. And we just read it and we want to get on to the next verse. But that verse here is very, very, very important. The scripture says that thanks be unto God, which always gives us the victory in Christ. Do you know that means that there is victory available to us and available for us in every situation? There is victory available. The question for us then is, why do we not always walk in the victory? If the victory is always available, why do we not always walk in it? And you get controversy sometimes. People talk about, if healing is available, why do we not always walk in healing? If finances are available, why do we not always walk in finances? If victory is available, why do we not always walk in them? And you know, when we got saved, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His Son, where there is only victory. There is only victory there. And what happens with us a lot of the times is Jesus Christ has already provided it for us, but we don't walk in it. And the key for each and every one of us is to learn to walk in everything that Christ has provided. Do you know there's things that Jesus Christ paid for on the cross that belong to us, and yet we don't walk in them? I remember hearing a story years ago, some famous preacher, and he had a vision of heaven. And he said in this vision of heaven, he was walking through these corridors, big long corridor, and on every side of the corridor there were rooms, and he looked in some of the rooms and they were full of all kinds of healings, full of all kinds of blessings, and full of all kinds of provision. And he stopped the Lord and he said, "Can you tell me, what do these rooms mean? Why are all these things in there?" And you know what he said? "These are the unclaimed promises of my people." In other words, they're already available to us, but we haven't claimed them. Do you know that as soon as we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, sometimes we talk about healing as an example. And when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we received the full benefit package. Everything has already been provided for us in Christ. And let me just share this with you. We are not the sick trying to be healed. We are the healed, and sickness is trying to attach itself to us. We are the healed. You know, when I was healed 2,000 years ago on a cross at Calvary, I was healed. Healing was already provided for. Healing was already given to me. I accepted it the day I made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. It's already there. It's already on the inside. But what we need to do is learn how to tap into it. And you see, we think that God is doing something new. God is up in heaven at the moment, and how am I going to convince God to give me healing? What do I need to do? Do I need to fast? Do I need to pray? How can I convince God to give me? No, he provided it 2,000 years ago on a cross at Calvary. I just need to walk in it. It's all, the provision is already there. Do you know what the last thing Jesus Christ said before he died? What did he say? It is finished. Do you know what that means? It was done. Everything was already provided for. And so we are not trying to open God's hand to get him to give us healing. It was already provided for at the cross. What needs to change is you and I. We need to change. We need to line up with what God has already done, what he's already provided. And that puts an end to a lot of these people's ideas about where does healing come from. It's already provided 2,000 years ago. We just need to walk in it. Learn how to appropriate it. Learn how to apply it to our lives. You know, when we got born again, or when we got saved, or when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Actually, let me read the verse first. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Most of you will already know this verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. It says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now let me just share this with you. And again, another verse, and we rhyme it off so easily because we know it off by heart. Yeah, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. No, stop and think about it. If any man be in Christ, that means when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we have become a new creature. Now let's talk about a new creature for a moment. What does it take to be a new creature or a new creation? Well, the very first thing it takes is it takes an act of a creator to make a new creation. Isn't that right? There needs to be a creator. And that creator needs to perform a creative act. And out of that creative act, we become a new creation. Well, how many of you know when God makes something, how does he make it? Perfect. See, when God, back in the very beginning, when he created creation, and every day at the end of every day, do you know what he said? Behold, it was good. And when he got to the very end, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, what did he say? Behold, it was very good. Do you know what that means? When God does something, when God creates something, he creates it perfect. Do you understand? He didn't create us broke, sick, damaged, depressed. He didn't create us that way. We weren't born again that way. The Bible says we are a new creature or a new creation. And the big problem with us is we don't know who we are. And because we don't know who we are, we don't know how to tap into it. We don't know how to appropriate it. And what we do is we continue living like we used to live because we don't know any better. Many of you don't know any better. Don't put your hand up. Do you know why? Because if you don't know any better, guess whose fault it is? Your own. If you don't know any better, guess whose fault it is? It's your own fault. You need to go and read and see what he's given us. You know, let me just share this with you. You know, we talk about that God always causes us to triumph in Christ, or he always gives us the victory in Christ. And there are whole churches out there who dedicate their lives to telling you, oh, we don't want to hear that victory stuff. We don't want to hear about all that stuff about how we're victorious and how we're overcomers and all the rest of it. They say, I just want to be like Jesus. Well, I've got news for you. Jesus isn't broke or sick or defeated. If you want to be like Jesus, then you need to be an overcomer. Do you understand? I don't want to hear that victory stuff. I just want to be like Jesus. Yeah, well, Jesus was an overcomer. Wasn't broke, wasn't sick, wasn't defeated. He was an overcomer. You know, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13 is part of the Lord's Prayer. And he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And just in there's a wee translational thing here, but the word evil here is actually a proper noun. It's deliver us from the evil, is what it should say. Or what, in Greek that means it's hoponeros, the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. The word evil is the word poneros. And the word paneros comes from a word called panos. And panos means pain. So when he says deliver me from the evil one, yes, it's the evil one, but also deliver me from pain. The word panos is an interesting word because it comes from another word called penes, which means poverty. And when Jesus Christ taught us to pray, he says, deliver us from the evil one, or deliver us from pain and deliver us from poverty. You know, they're the two main causes of causing us to be defeated. Or three, really, evil, sickness, and poverty. And Jesus said our prayer should be that God, you will deliver us from it. And you know, God has already delivered us from it, but we just need to walk in it. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy all the works of the evil one. Well, what are the works of the evil one? It's the same word paneros, panos, pain, penes, poverty, and evil. And Jesus Christ came to deliver us from all the works of the evil one, from sickness, from poverty, from lack, from depression, from all the works of the evil one. Jesus came to deliver us. You know what's interesting is when we read through the Bible, and particularly in the what we call the Pauline epistles, which are the epistles that were written by the Apostle Paul, when we read through them and we read things like, you know, I can do all things through Christ. I am an overcomer through Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. My God supplies all my needs. God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And when we read through the Pauline epistles, we read about somebody who is victorious, somebody who's an overcomer, somebody who can do all things. That's what the scripture says. And yet when we read that and we look at our own lives sometimes, we see a different story. And we think, how can the Bible say that about us? How can the Bible say, I can do all things when I can't? How can the Bible say that God provides all my needs when it seems like he doesn't? And where the problem is God has already promised it. God has already provided it. We just need to learn to take our place in Christ. We need to find out where that place is in Christ, and we need to begin to walk in it. In everything that Christ has provided for us. And you know what happens, and I used a dirty word here on Sunday night, and I'm going to have to use it again. A little word called discipline. Don't use those words around here. But what we need to do is we need to discipline ourselves. We need to go and find out what the Word of God says about us, and we need to begin to apply the Word of God to our life. And what happens with us so often is we just roll by from week to week or from meeting to meeting, and in between times we don't give enough time to who we are in Christ. Ah, sure, I don't need to read the Bible, sure. The preacher on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night, sure, he'll read the Bible for me. No, we need to find out what the Bible says ourselves. And then when we read what the scripture says about us, you know, let me just share this with you. One of the biggest problems sometimes with Bible reading is we set ourselves a target. I have to read 3 chapters a day, or I have to read 1 chapter a day. And so let's go, right? And you start to read your chapter and you try to get through it as quick as you can to get on to the next bit or to get on and do what you have to do. But you know what we need to do sometimes is when we read the scriptures, stop and meditate over it. You know what the best thing you could do actually when you read the scriptures is when you begin to read a chapter, when you find a verse that speaks to you, don't go any further. Don't read on the rest of the chapter. Stop when the verse speaks to you and meditate on that. And if it's the very first verse that you read, then stop and meditate on it. Because you'd be far better off getting the goodness out of it than reading a whole chapter and forgetting what it was and not walking in it. Do you understand? And you're better off when you start to read during the day, when you read a verse that speaks to you, just stop and camp there. Say, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me through this? What does this verse mean to me? You know, before we were saved, if we were saved, what were we before we were lost? And when we were lost, you know, Jesus Christ came and saved us, but we didn't go from being a lost worm to being a saved worm. Do you understand? We went from being lost to be in the righteousness of Almighty God in Christ, with all the rights and the privileges and the benefits of being a child of the living God. And you see, we have that mentality sometimes, and we think nothing's changed except for here I was lost, and here I've got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but nothing's changed, and that is not true. What's happened now is we have become born again. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. It says, behold, all old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All the old things have passed away, and all things have become new. The problem then is, because all these things have become new, we don't even know what they are. You know, I used to say, because all these old things have become new, we need someone to introduce us to our new self. Come and meet your new self. Have you ever seen that program? There used to be a program years ago, I don't know if they still do it or not, but it was Extreme Makeover. And they weren't allowed to look at themselves in the mirror the whole time when the thing was being done. And they got all these nips and tucks, and they got their hair done, their makeup done, and all the rest of it. And they weren't allowed to see each other until, you know, they went through whatever it was. They had lost weight and they were done exercises. And then they wouldn't let them see themselves until the very last day. And then they pulled this big curtain off the mirror and goes, there's the new you. Well, that's what happened to us in Christ. Jesus Christ made us a brand new creature. And he says, welcome to the new you. But you know what we need to do? And this is what we do here. This is why we're teaching. Is because what we need to understand who we are in Christ is we need some meet your new self classes. Meet your new self classes. Let me introduce you to your new self. And the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am an overcomer through him who loves me. I am more than a conqueror. Do you understand? And we need some meet our new self classes. Look with me in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look with me here in verse 3. And it says here, for you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It says, you are dead. You're dead to yourself. You're dead to your old life. We've got a new life. And the Bible says, you are dead, and now your life is hidden with Christ in God. So if you imagine, this is me here. This is me. And this is Christ. And the Bible says that I am now hidden in Christ, and we're both hidden in God. And we need to see ourselves that way. And let me just share something with you. The Bible says we have been hidden with Christ in God. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen yourself in Christ lately? Have you seen yourself in Christ lately? And let me just share this with you. If you look at yourself, and if you don't like what you see, then you're not in Christ per se, or you're not walking according to who you are in Christ. And we haven't seen ourselves in Christ. And you know, when you read the Pauline epistles, 131 times in the Pauline epistles, he talks about in Christ or through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I am an overcomer in Christ. And we need to see ourselves in Christ and see who we are and begin to walk according to who we are and call ourselves who we are. You know, coming up to Easter time, next Wednesday is Good Wednesday. Talk about that maybe another day. Next Wednesday is Easter. And we're coming up to this Easter period and we're beginning to think about what Jesus Christ done on the cross for us. But you know, Jesus Christ didn't go through the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane where he sweat those drops of blood. He didn't go through the agony at the whipping post where he was whipped. And when the soldiers punched him in the face and where they hammered that crown of thorns in his head, and then they crucified him and nailed him to a tree, Jesus didn't go through all that agony so that we could stay the same. Poor, sick, defeated. He didn't go through all that so that we could stay the same. Jesus went through all that so that we could be radically changed. So that we can be radically changed. And the reality of it is, the Bible says we are radically changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Many things is all things. All things have become new. But you know what we need to do? Is we need to go and find out what things have become new and begin to walk in them. The NIV, or the King James says that all things have passed away and all things have become new. There's a translation called the Dean Translation. And it says, not merely a man altered, but a man remade. And you see, we have this concept sometimes that Jesus Christ went to the cross, that he paid that price for us, so that when we get saved, we get altered a little bit. No, he says, he didn't come to alter you, I came to remake you. I come that you might be born again, that everything might become new, all things might become new. When we talk about who we are in Christ, then people ask the question, why does the Bible say that, but I'm only experiencing that? And I'm going to share something with you for a moment. And this is not complicated, but just bear with me just while I explain this. There are two types of truth in the Word of God. Two types of truth. The first one is what we call positional truth. Right? And positional truth talks about your position. It talks about who you are in Christ. And positionally, the Bible says that I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. Positionally, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ. Positionally, the Bible says my God supplies all my needs according to his riches by glory in Christ Jesus. That's what we call positional truth. On the other side of that, on the flip side of that, we have what we call experiential truth. And that's what we are by experience. Right? So we have experiential truth on one side, what we are by experience, what I'm experiencing. And on the other side, we have what we call positional truth, as what I am by position. Now let me just share something with you. Your experience changes every day. One day you're up, the next day you're down. One day you're walking in victory, the next day you sin, and the next day you're back in victory again. So your experience changes. Do you know what never changes? Your position. Your position never changes. And you see, what happens with us so often is we live our lives according to our experience when we need to start living our lives according to our position. And my position is, I am always a conqueror in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I have an overcomer through Christ. And that's our position. Why would we fight from our experience, which one day is up and the next day it's down, the next day it's up and the next day it's down? Why would we fight from that position when it's changing all the time, when we need to be fighting from a position of who we are in Christ? And then what we need to do is we need to say about ourselves what the Bible says. If the Bible says I'm blessed, I'm going to say I'm blessed. If the Bible says I'm an overcomer, I'm going to say I'm an overcomer, because my position never changes. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get my experience to line up with my position. And you see, if 3.5 days a week I live out of my experience, and 3.5 days a week I live out of my position, then I want that to change, that next time I'm living 3 days out of my experience and 4 days out of my position. And then 2 days out of my experience and 5 days out of my position. But I'm trying to get my experience to line up with who I am in Christ. And talk about that I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. And you see, what happens with us so often is we allow our experiences to dictate who we are. And if we think to ourselves, you know, I blew it yesterday, so I'm a failure. Do you know what? If you start to live out of that, you know what you become? A failure. Instead of picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and going back to saying, no, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me, and just going on again. And you know what's interesting is you're not a failure when you fail. You're only a failure when you quit. Do you understand? You're not a failure when you fail. You're only a failure when you quit. Because when you quit, you failed. But if you get up and dust yourself off and go back to, well, this is who I am in Christ, and begin to confess who you are in Christ, then what you will find is you will begin to see a change. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me show you a few things that are ours by position. Second Peter chapter 1. It says here in verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now I want you to notice here, it says that his divine power, that's God's divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Life is life in the natural, and godliness is life in the spiritual. And this scripture says that the divine power of God has given us everything that pertains to life in the natural and everything that pertains to life in the spiritual. But I want you to notice the next part of the verse. Through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. And you see, that goes back to what we said. Is the scripture talks about who we are in Christ. And it's only by knowing who we are in Christ, it's through the knowledge of him, that we begin to walk in everything that he's provided. And like I said earlier, if you're looking at yourself and you don't like what you see, then you're not looking at yourself in Christ. Because the Bible says that you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And you're not seeing yourself in Christ. But this word of God here says that his divine power has given unto us all things pertaining to life in the natural, life in the spirit, but it's through the knowledge of him. Or through knowing who we are in him. And when we don't know who we are in him, we end up lost in a sense. And I don't mean lost that we're going to hell, but lost in a sense that we're wandering around and we have no clue who we are. We have no clue where we're going. And we're being buffeted by everything that comes along. And the enemy is having a field day with us. And we need to go back to find out who we are through the knowledge of him. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, the scripture here says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. How many is that? All. Well, let me ask you a question. Has he or hasn't he? Well, he said he has. The Bible says he doesn't tell lies. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should change his mind. The Bible says that every word out of the mouth of God is spoken in purity. And if God says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, if God says he has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness, has he done it? Well, if we haven't experienced it, whose fault is it? It's not his fault. And you see, we're so quick sometimes to blame God and say, it's all your fault, God. So, no, I've already provided it for you. Belongs to you. But it's through the knowledge of him. Through knowing the word of God. Through knowing who we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Are they? Are they? Yeah, they are. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Many of you have ever read a promise and you haven't experienced it. Well, the Bible says they're yes and amen in Christ. So if we haven't experienced it, guess who's wrong? We are. It's us that needs to change. Do you know what the Bible says about God? That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And so God is not the one who changes. So if somebody has to change, guess who it is? We have to change. We have to line up with what he said. He's never going to line up with what we said. And see, that's one of our big problems. We're always trying to get God to line up with us. Well, God, I'd like if you'd do this. He's going, no, I'm not going to change. But you need to do this. And we need to line up with him. And you know what's interesting about that is the Word of God contains the promises of God. It contains all things pertaining to life and godliness. And so we know that as far as the Word of God is concerned, that God wins. And so if we know that God wins, then what we need to do is we need to line up with him instead of trying to get him to line up with us. You know what I mean? We need to line up with him. Line up with what he's doing. Line up with what he says about us. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Look with me in verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." My God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what's amazing about that verse of scripture? The scripture says that God supplies all our need first. But then it says according to his riches in glory. So it's not according to the world's economy. It's not according to the Ulster Bank or the AIB or the First Trust. It's according to his riches in glory. And God supplies all of our need. But we need to figure out how to tap into it. And how we figure out how to tap into it is by knowing who we are in Christ. God made a provision for us already in Christ before we were saved. But this new identity didn't become ours until after we got born again. You know, many times have you ever heard the cliche, and I know it's used, you see it a lot on the God channel. Hold up your Bible. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And we quote that sometimes, but it's just become a cliche. But what we need to do is we need to go back and find out who we are in Christ. Find out what our in Christ identity is. You have to feed on the Word. Find out what the Word of God says about us. Let me ask you a question. We're trying to change our identity because it's our in Christ identity. How do you change somebody's identity? How do you change somebody's identity? Have you ever heard of the Witness Protection Program? And what happens is they take somebody and they completely change their identity. And they go back and they wipe out their whole old life. They actually wipe it out. It's gone off the computers. No trace of their old life. And they give them a brand new identity. And they tell them, this is now where you were born. This is your new birth cert. This is where you went to school. There's your high school diploma. And they go through all these different things. And they give you a whole new identity. Well, that's what happened to us in Christ. Jesus Christ gave us a whole new identity. He gave us a whole new identity. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we are a new creature in Christ. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look with me here in verse 9. It says, "For in him," or in Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look at verse 10. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." The Bible says that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. You know what's interesting about that word fullness in verse 9 and the word complete in verse 10 is actually the same word in Greek. The two Greek words are the same. It's peplerōmenoi. And it's the same word. And the word peplerōmenoi, what it actually means, it means something that has happened in the past with effects that reach into the future that we enjoy the benefits of, but we don't affect the outcome. And what happened was the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became complete. It became ours. Let me talk to you about the word complete, or the word fullness, because it's the same word. The Bible says that we've become so full that we can't become any fuller. We've become so complete that we can't become any more complete. You see, let's say we got a big jigsaw here and we put it on the ground and we finished it. And somebody said to me, it's complete. I said, give me another piece. Can't give you another piece, it's complete. Or say if you were filling diesel into the car. And somebody said, there, it's full. Well, I want it fuller. Well, I can't get it any fuller than full. It's full. Do you understand? And the scripture here says that we are complete in Christ. Do you know what the word complete means? Nothing missing and nothing broken. We are complete in him. It's already been done for us. And we have the word of God. And the word of God tells us who we are in Christ. We are overcomers. We can do all things through Christ. But you know what we spend most of our time doing? We spend most of our time disagreeing with God. I can do all things through Christ. No, I can't. My God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. No, he didn't. My God supplies all my needs. No, he doesn't. And we spend most of our time disagreeing with God. Well, I know the Bible says that, but... But here's the thing. How do we get it to work for us? Do you know how we get it to work for us? Instead of disagreeing with God, we need to start agreeing with God. You know, the Bible said in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, the scripture says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So here we are. Can you imagine? Two friends. Friends, I'll have to use that. And every time they meet, all they do is disagree. We're going here. No, we're not. We're going there. I want to eat over there. No, well, I'm eating over there. We're going to go here tonight. Well, you can go there, but I'm going over there. Do you know what would happen? What would happen? It'd separate. Just go, you know what? I'm going to find somebody who's going my direction. But we're trying to walk with God. Well, we're trying to walk with God, and God says, I'm going that way. And you say, well, I'm going this way, God. And we're trying to get God to go our way. But the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you know who we need to agree with? Does anybody know who we need to agree with? We need to agree with God. We need to agree with what he said. And you know what? If he says, I'm blessed, what are you going to say? No, I'm not. Is that what we're going to say? If he says we can overcome, what are we going to say? If he said he supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory, what are we going to say? What are we going to say? If he says you're the healed, what are we going to say? 131 scriptures in the Pauline epistles where the Apostle Paul talks about in him, through him, or by him. And he talks about who we are in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. I am an overcomer through Christ. I am the healed in Christ. And he goes through all these things, who we are in Christ. But if we want them to work for us, we need to start agreeing with him. Can two walk together except to be agreed? And something needs to change in our speech, in our vocabulary, where we begin to say what he says. How many of you have been saying negative things about yourself? Many of you have been saying, I'm no good. I can't do it. Nothing works for me. I'm always sick. I'm always broke. Many of you have been saying that. You can all put your hands up because I know you've been at it. Well, let me ask you, how many of you are fed up of it? Well, if you're fed up of it, if you're fed up being sick and being broke and talking that way all the time and thinking that way all the time and saying that all the time, why don't you change and start living according to our in Christ identity and start saying, I'm blessed. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. And start saying about who we are in Christ. Start lining up with the word of God. Start agreeing with God. Because you know, it's only when we start agreeing with what God says that it begins to work for us. And we begin to have what God says. And if God says we're blessed, try saying you're blessed for a while and watch what happens. Do you know what will happen? The blessing of God will come upon you. Let me just share this with you. And you know, it's amazing when we talk this way, because people sometimes say, you're going to tell me now that if I go around saying I'm blessed, that I'm going to be blessed. Absolutely. And let me share something with you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How does he get saved? By saying it. Yeah, but nothing else works that way. Why not? The Bible says, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him as Lord? I said it. I said what the word said and I got saved. Well, why don't you say what the word says and be blessed then? Why don't you say what the word says and walk in victory then? And if God says I'm blessed, then we need to say I'm blessed. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. The Bible says that we got born again. Many of you have ever heard, and I know we all have per se, but many of you ever heard of when a child was born and somebody said that child was born with a birth defect? Well, you know, in the kingdom of God, there are no born again people with birth defects. Every one of them are perfect. Born again, perfect. We have no birth defects. We're perfect, complete in Christ. It all belongs to us. But the key to unlocking it is to begin to walk according to our position in Christ. Begin to walk according to who he says we are. Because God says, right, I've got you saved. All the old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now you're blessed. No, I'm not. No, I just said you're blessed. Well, I said I'm not. Do you know what I mean? He's trying to introduce us to our new self. You know, I think it's the Amplified version. It actually says of 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that we've become a new species that never existed before. Well, you know, if you're a new species that never existed before, how do you live then? I don't know. If I never existed before, how do I know how to live? Well, God left us the manual. He said, this is how you do it. You're blessed. You're an overcomer. And we need to begin to see who he says we are and begin to line up with that. Do you understand? If he says I'm blessed, then I need to say I'm blessed, because he knows better. He created me. And he said, this is the manual. This is how it works. And one of the things that we do is we disagree with him all the time. Do you know what I love too was, see when Adam sinned. And from the time that Adam sinned to the Messiah came, do you know how long there was? From the time Adam sinned to the Messiah, anybody know how long that was? Something around 4,000 years. Around 4,000 years. And during that 4,000 years, and you read all the way through the Old Testament, and God begins to reveal how he's going to redeem man, and he begins to reveal what man is going to be like, and he begins to reveal what he's going to do. Do you think after 4,000 years that he had enough time to think about it? Do you think that he left something out, and the day after we all got saved, we go, oh! Do you know what I forgot to put in there? No, he already thought of everything. The Bible says he redeemed us before the foundation of the world. He already had it all planned. And he says, when you're going to be saved, he said, I'm going to make you complete. I'm going to give you everything that you need, all things pertaining to life and godliness. I'm going to put blessing in. I'm going to put health in. I'm going to put this in. I'm going to put that in. You're never going to lack anything. You're always going to be an overcomer. You're always going to walk in victory. And he put all those things into it. And he says, all you have to do now is go back and read the manual and see who you are and begin to walk according to who you are. And if I say you're blessed, then you just say you're blessed. Because two can't walk together unless they walk in agreement. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Just another 147 scriptures. Joy's out of sweets. Ephesians chapter 1. Anybody got any sweets for Joy? Ephesians chapter 1. Look with me in verse 16. Paul says here, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now watch what he prays for the Ephesians. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's an interesting verse. He says, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Why would we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ? Because when we look at Christ, what we're doing is we're looking at ourselves. Because what actually happened was that Jesus Christ redeemed us and then gave us his life. And he says that he will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You know what that means? It means that there is an inheritance that's given to us. And we don't even know what it is. And that inheritance is that we're blessed, that we're overcomers, that we're victorious, that he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are ours. And that's our inheritance. We are complete in him. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And the scripture here says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and it says that we are the feet of the body. And then it says he's put all things under his feet, powers, principalities, dominions, everything has been put under the feet of Christ. Well, we're part of the feet of Christ. It's all under us. And yet we live our lives as if it's over us, when in actual fact it isn't. We need to be dominated by the word of God. Find out who we are in Christ. Have the eyes of our understanding enlightened that we might know who we are in Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, seeing as we're close by, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says here that you put off concerning the former conversation. The word conversation there is the word lifestyle. That you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In verse 22, it tells us there's something we need to put off. In verse 24, it tells us there's something we need to put on. And the key is the middle verse. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, so he's talking about putting off something and putting on something. What we're meant to put off is the old man. And so what we need to do is we need to stop thinking the way we used to think. Stop acting the way we used to act. Put off that old man. Then he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which means renew your mind in accordance with the word of God. Renew your mind in accordance with who you are in Christ. I'm blessed. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things. Begin to renew your mind with that. And then he says, put on the new man. Now let me ask you a question. How do you put on the new man? How do you put it on? Remember one time when I was over in Texas, I was talking to Pastor Mark, and Pastor Mark Hankins, and he was telling this story, and he said that he came out of his office one day, and when he came out of his office one day, he sneezed, and somebody said to him, are you sick, Pastor Mark? And he says, no, I am the healed. And the guy said to him, you're just putting that on. He said, that's exactly right. He said, I'm putting it on. I'm putting on who I am in Christ. I'm not the sick, I'm the healed. And so you put off the old man. So stop calling yourself no good. Stop calling yourself defeated. Stop calling yourself the sick. Renew your mind to what God says and start putting on the new man. How are you today? I'm the healed. How are you today? I'm an overcomer in Christ. My God supplies all my need. I can do all things according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you know what we need to do is we need to put on the new man. Begin to say about ourselves what he said. If you want to have, let me say this to you. If you want to have Christ's results, how are you going to get it? By saying what he said. Because you know what? For the last X amount of years, we've been having our results. Do you know why? Because we've been saying what we've been saying. Understand? If you've been saying what you've been saying and this is the results you get, why don't you try saying what he said and get his results? Renew your mind with the word of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or renewing your mind brings transformation. The word transformation is the word metamorphosis, and it talks about the being changed from a caterpillar into a butterfly. You know the thing about a caterpillar is a caterpillar is limited to where his little legs can carry him. And he walks up and down a branch of a tree, and he'll spend his whole life on that branch of a tree nibbling away at the leaves, and he never goes anywhere because he's limited to where his little legs can carry him. But then there comes a metamorphosis, and that's the word Paul uses here. Be transformed. The word metamorphosis, by the renewing of your mind. And when there's a metamorphosis, when we begin to say who we are in Christ, it's like turning into a butterfly, and now you're not limited to where you can go anymore, because now you can soar in the heavenlies. You can soar on the breeze, soar in the heavenlies. And that's why Paul uses that word here, because he says when you renew your mind, it brings about a transformation. That we're not earthly anymore, not bound to the earth anymore. Now we can soar in the heavenlies. Because of who we are in Christ. Let me see. Last scripture. Look with me in the book of Philemon. Chapter 1. Just before the book of Hebrews. I know some of you are probably worried there. The book of Philemon. Is there a book of Philemon? Just before the book of Hebrews. This is an unusual verse of scripture here in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The word that's translated here, communication, is actually the word koinonia. It's the word we use for communion. And what it means is a partnership, or it can mean the outworking of something. And it talks about here is that the fellowship of our faith, or the outworking of our faith, may become effectual. How does it become effectual? When you begin to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ. When you begin to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ. And you see, we haven't been doing that. We've been acknowledging every bad thing that's in our flesh. I'm useless. I'm no good. I can't. I shouldn't. I won't. But he says here, if you want it to work for you, you need to acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. What are the things that are in you in Christ? We talked about there's 131 of them in the New Testament. I can do all things through Christ. I am an overcomer in Christ. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. When we begin to acknowledge every good thing which is in us in Christ, then the outworking of our faith becomes effectual. Because there's no point in us going around being negative, saying, I can't, I couldn't. You see, if somebody came to you and says, I can't do anything, I'm no good, you wouldn't be very keen to go and ask them to lay hands on you or anything like that, would you? You'd keep away from him. But the scripture says we need to acknowledge who we are in Christ. And when we begin to acknowledge who we are in Christ, it says then that the communication or the outworking of our faith becomes effectual. Jesus changed everything. Nothing is the same. You're not the same person you were before. There's nothing left of what you used to be. You know, when we got born again, I just use myself. When I got born again, I was 20 years of age. And I was programmed for that first 20 years by the world. And all that was left of my old life was that programming. That was all was left. The old life was gone. I'm a new creature in Christ. But what we needed to do was change that old programming. How that old programming is changed is by renewing your mind. That's how you change that programming. And you see, what happens with us so often is that we've been brought up in the world, and the world has always told us how to behave in a certain situation, and it's a reflex action to behave that way. But the Bible says you need to renew your mind with the Word of God and change the way you act. Put off that old man. Begin to put on the new man. Begin to confess who you are in Christ. I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ. When we begin to acknowledge every good thing that is in us in Christ, it'll begin to outwork. We become such a different person in Christ that we need to let God introduce us to our new selves. We have a new identity. We're now identified with Christ. We need to take our place as a child of God every day. Do you ever remember there was an old, used to call it a Negro spiritual, it came out of the States from the slaves used to sing this song, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And the reality of it was, we were there. We were there when they crucified the Lord, because when Jesus Christ was on the cross, I was on his mind. He said, "I'm doing it for you." And he did that for me, not so that I could stay the same, but so that I could be changed. So that I could have a new life in Christ. So that I could be an overcomer in Christ. So that I could be a complete in Christ. And I was there with him when he hung on that cross. I was there at his burial. I was there at his resurrection. But we need to see ourselves in Christ. And we need to take time to read the Word of God and see what the Bible says about us. And when we read through these scriptures and we see where the Bible says, "I am an overcomer," you need to stop and say to yourself, "Do you know what? I am an overcomer. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I can overcome everything that the enemy throws at me." See, what's happened with us is we have settled for far less than all that Jesus Christ died to give us. And that's the reality. And we're all guilty of it. So you can all lift your head up, because we've all done it. We've settled for far less than what Jesus Christ died to give us. But what we need to be doing every day is we need to be changing that. We need to be acknowledging who we are in Christ. We need to go back and find out who we are in Christ. And as I said earlier, the only way we can do that is discipline. Discipline ourselves when we read the Word of God to stop and say, "Right, this is what the Word of God says about me. So this is what I'm going to say about me. I am an overcomer. I can do all things. God always causes me to walk in triumph in Christ." And begin to say about ourselves who the Word of God says about us. Amen. Let's take our place in Christ and let's begin to walk in everything that Jesus Christ provided for us. And let me just say this. Let's not settle for less than what Jesus Christ died to give us. Let's not settle for less. Let's not settle for less than everything that Jesus Christ died to give us. And you know, we do that too. And you know what that can be? That can be a real ploy of the devil too. You know, see if you have a sickness in your body. And I've seen this happen so often. And I use sickness maybe, but we have a sickness in our body and we're in a lot of pain. And somebody prays for us and sort of half the pain has gone, but we've still a little bit left over. And we think, well, that's all right, I can live with that. But what we're actually doing is we're settling for less than Jesus Christ died to give us. And when we're believing God for something, don't settle for less. Let's go all the way and say, "You know what, Jesus, you didn't die just so that I could have half my pain removed. You died that I might be complete in him. You died that I might be an overcomer, that I can do all things." And let's not settle for less than everything that Jesus Christ died to give us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.